I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to come up here and speak to you. Kevin's out of town, so you're stuck with me. It's nice to see all of our members here this morning, and it's nice to see all the visitors as well. Thank you for coming, and you're always welcome to be here with us. This morning, I'm going to speak on a topic that I find very important due to the events that have occurred in my life, which is marriage. I think it's very important and sacred, and that it needs to be kept very strongly according to the Word of God. Let's start in Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Genesis chapter 2. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Here in the first book of the Bible, we have the first demonstration of marriage. And it's because woman came out of man there to become one again. One person. Not two people, but one. God set this in place for a purpose. A man and a woman. And it's sacred, since God set it in place. Next, let's go to Hebrews 13, and I'll read the first part of chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13. "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." Something we're supposed to honor because God set it in place. It's not something that Kevin uses this demonstration all the time. It's not like trying out a new car. You can't just go and be like, "I want to try this." And after you find out if you like it or not, you can just get rid of it. It's something that we're supposed to hold dear to us and honor because God gave it to us. Next, let's go to Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them a male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, so the two shall become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Here we see Jesus speaking about how humans are not meant to separate marriage. That they're one person. One entity. And when we do separate it, you lose half of yourself. And it's not a painless half of you just leaves. It's painful. It requires tearing. It takes a long time to heal. And coming from a marriage that didn't quite work out, I can say that it is a very painful process to deal with. And it's very stressful for a very long time. It took me years to be able to think about what had happened and not become very upset and sorrowful at the events that took place. So here we have an example of God's sacred covenant of marriage, that man and woman are not meant to separate. But marriage takes a special something. It takes commitment. And what is commitment? According to the Oxford Dictionary, commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause. Dedication. Being willing to work at it over and over and over again. Not losing that dedication is an important part. We have to work. It's not something that can be static. We have to keep trying. Because if we do become static, that's when problems arise. Let's go to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3 now. Genesis 12. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you of a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse you.'" "And I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here we have an example of God telling Abraham to make a major commitment. He has to leave everything to go search for this land that God said he will give him. That Abraham must have been astonished when God asked him to do this. God said, "Leave everything that you've set up. Leave your home and follow me." This required not only a great deal of faith, but a massive commitment to follow through. Abraham said to God, "Okay, I'll trust you." And he wandered for a long time until he finally came to the land that was promised him. He had to be committed to God, which he was. And that's a great example. And since we have these examples of commitment that we need to follow, and what commitment is, marriage is a covenant, a commitment. God made a covenant with Abraham and said, "I promise this." All Abraham had to do was follow through with his end. That's what it is. Marriage is a promise to your spouse that you will be with them, comfort them, take care of them. At any cost. All you have to do is follow your side of the bargain. And marriage for us is a demonstration set forth by God. It's not just something he set in place, but it has a purpose for us as his people. Marriage is a demonstration of what Christ did for us as his church. Christ set down his life for us. So even if you aren't married or you're not planning on getting married, marriage is a good thing to look at so you can understand what Christ felt for us, why he died for us, what his purpose was. Let's look at Ephesians 5, and I'll read some verses from Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself his Savior." Now, verses 25 through 27. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that might be holy and without blemish." In the marriage relationship, we are supposed to treat our spouse like Christ treated the church, with love, respect, dignity, and doing anything we can to keep our spouse a holy and Christian member of the church. We're supposed to sacrifice for each other. It's not some empty thing. We have to put forth effort, like I said. And it's very important that we are treating spouses with love so that they don't look somewhere else. Because there's always two parts to a dance. Even though it might be mostly the other person, you still had something to do with it. Or if you didn't, then So, marriage, altogether, is a representation of Christ and the church. And we were given marriage by God so that we may understand fully what Christ actually did for us. And Christ laid down his life for us, the church. So that means we must be willing to put our spouse's life before ours, make them more important than ourselves, because that is the example that Christ set. Christ was beaten. He had to carry a heavy load and fell on his way many times. And he was beaten to get back up. And he was eventually to the point where he had lost so much blood that he had to have someone help him. He was physically incapable of continuing his journey. And he did that for us. All for us. And we were the ones who did that to him. We caused that because we sinned. He went through that so that we may be pardoned, the unfaithful spouse, the church. Now, his blood was shed for us so that we may be cleansed in baptism, so that we may spend eternity in heaven with him, our Savior. But if you aren't baptized, you don't have that. Christ still died for you. You just haven't accepted his sacrifice. If you haven't been baptized, you're lost. All you have to do is hear him calling for you and run to him, arms outstretched. And if you are a Christian, have been baptized, and you've sinned, he's still there. He's still calling back. He loves you still. All you have to do is walk to him and say, "Please forgive me, sinner. I've sinned against you." So, if you need to be baptized this morning, or if you need the prayers of the church, we are here for you. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet,
they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you. Hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. O return ye unto God. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto me, ye people, saith the Lord your God. He'll forgive your transgression. He'll forgive your transgression and remember them no more. And remember them no more.
We'll have the closing prayer and then some announcements.